George Orwell is one of the widest read and widest published writers of the 20th century. He's best known for his satirical novels Animal Farm and 1984, which many British people study at school. But he wrote numerous other books, as well as hundreds of articles for newspapers and journals. Orwell died in 1950, and 10 years later, his widow Sonia offered UCL his manuscripts, notebooks and personal papers on permanent loan. The collection has since been supplemented by donations and purchases, and the university now looks after the world's most comprehensive body of research material relating to George Orwell. In this podcast, you'll hear how the archive is used and how it's about to get a much bigger audience through a major digitization program. But first, who was George Orwell? Here's Michael Seyoux, lecturer in UCL's Department of English and an Orwell scholar.
He had an incredibly varied life where he was born in northern India to civil service parents. His first job was in the Burmese police. So he went back and did more work of sort of imperial work. Came back, worked as a kind of Grub Street writer in lots of ways. He had a very varied life and all different sort of periods of it that were important.
Among those were periods spent on the streets of London and Paris, collecting material for his book Down and Out in Paris and London. Orwell then spent time fighting in the Spanish Civil War, which helped form his political opinions and provided material for the book Homage to Catalonia. On his return to England, Orwell worked as a BBC producer and as a journalist for several eminent publications. The last few years of his life were marked by failing health and by the publication of two works that became overnight successes, Animal Farm and 1984. Orwell died of tuberculosis in 1950, leaving a legacy he couldn't have predicted.
He was incredibly influential. I think the entire genres of dystopian literature, of speculative fiction, science fiction to a certain extent, it's almost impossible to imagine what they would be like or how different they would be if not for 1984 and Animal Farm.
The George Orwell Archive at UCL contains notebooks, diaries and manuscripts, personal papers like birth certificates, lots of correspondence, and of course much of Orwell's work, including articles he wrote and first editions of all of his books, plus duplicates and translations. There's also original background material about Orwell. For scholars, it's a rich and valuable resource.
Understanding how different social and cultural and intellectual literary networks worked is, to my mind, incredibly important for understanding how these things actually come to the surface, how a book like 1984, in a kind of deep sense, ever appears. So when we can look at the manuscripts, when we can look at his records of different transactions that he was involved with, who his friends were, it shines a different light on the work than if we just open up the novel and read passages of it and try to interpret it.
So what's it like to turn the pages of one of Orwell's notebooks, to see the marks of his pen on the page? Jill Furlong is Head of Special Collections and Archivist at UCL Library Services. She was involved in cataloguing the archive.
I think when you're actually face-to-face with something that, no matter who it is, from a different era from your own, I think there's two things are happening. You're connecting immediately with that period of time, and you're also connecting with the person who has created the thing that you're looking at. So you get that immediate connection to past time. If there's another dimension, which of course there almost always is with material in special collections, and in particular with such a significant character as Orwell, then you've got this added extra buzz, an extra spark, which gives you a thrill. There's no doubt about it. You're actually handling something which that person handled on a day-to-day basis, and it's a very exciting experience to do that. That's apart from all the different signals that you're getting from what has been written, how it's been written. Why did he write that on that page but not on that page? Did he always work like that? Or did he work in a different way when he was working on different topics. It's all that sort of thing. Those clues come from the item itself. So it's a very engaging occupation to have such close contact with individual notebooks and diaries, especially if someone is important as Orwell.
My name's Dr. Andrew Flynn, and I'm a senior lecturer in Archives and Records Management in the Department of Information Studies at UCL.
We're going to be talking about a couple of really specific items from the archive. Can you explain what we've got here?
These are from the correspondence files. And what we've got is an exchange between the Duchess of Athol and Orwell in November 1945. She's asked him whether he would speak and associate himself with a group called the League for European Freedom. The importance of the letters is really Orwell's response. He responds by saying, yes, I know something about your organisation. I reviewed an earlier meeting quite positively, but I have some problems, and I'm going to tell you quite plainly what those problems are. And he says, and I think these lines are quite crucial, or interesting rather than crucial perhaps, he says, it seems to me that one can only denounce the crimes now being committed in Poland, Yugoslavia, etc., if one is equally insistent on ending Britain's unwanted rule in India. I belong to the left and must work inside it, much as I hate Russian totalitarianism and its poisonous influence in this country. What I think about this letter is that I think it takes you in so many potentially different directions in just a few lines, found in an archive, in a letter, and it's just a sort of a general correspondence. But obviously he's putting his position very, very clearly about where he stands. And so we find out in those few lines a lot about Orwell. We can begin to think about the Cold War. We can begin to think about the influence of the Soviet Union on British life, particularly the influence of the Soviet Union on the British left. We can think about imperialism and anti-imperialism. We can think about the beginning of the Cold War. We can begin to think about how Orwell, particularly after his death, but even before, becomes involved in kind of a Cold War politics, and subsequent to his death, books like 1984 and Animal Farm become very much co-opted into the Cold War. I chose this in particular as an example. I mean, I don't think it's the most important letter in the world, or perhaps in the Orwell collection, but as a way of just saying in a few lines, in a letter that might not actually have a great deal of other consequence, you can suddenly expand into a whole different range of questions, and it just opens up a whole different area of things. And I think that's often the beauty of the archive, whereas you have all the established published works and all the things that you know are there, and you know these are the important statements. But behind the scenes in the archives, and sometimes letters that you might overlook that are kind of almost unconsidered trifles in a way, that are kind of the everyday activity of the writer, you find something that sums up something very pithily, puts something very clearly, pushes you to pursue other angles. And I think that's often the real joy of the discovery of the archive.
UCL Library Services has taken on the formidable task of digitising the Orwell Archive, so more people can benefit from exploring this material.
The idea would be to have an image of all the pages from his notebooks or diaries, and alongside have a transcription of that, which would be searchable. And then that would make them so much more accessible. At the click of the mouse, you've got access to all of the material or individual pages of the material, and you can do keyword searches and you can do all sorts of things. So whereas before, people would only be able to come into the archive and sit down at a desk and have the item brought to them, this way, it's the next best thing. And for a lot of people, that's a fantastic substitute. That's a fantastic surrogate for them. And it's another way of Orwell reaching even further, which is what we want to do.
The thing about an archive is you can't easily make a small book out of it and sell it in the bookshops. It's too large to reproduce. But through digitization, we now have the capability to basically, you know, do the same way that 1984 can be bought in a bookshop anywhere in the world. Now this archive will be able to be used by anybody anywhere in the world.
Digitization will certainly make the archive more accessible and broaden its reach. Dr. Andrew Flynn believes it may also give this material a new lease of life.
Once you have a digitized image with the information surrounding it, you can then build up a whole lot of further information. You can link it to other information that's elsewhere on the internet. So you can build up a kind of resource for people to understand Orwell in a much better way than possibly you could ever do in a sort of an institution and in a catalogue. And I'm, you know, particularly excited by the possibilities that are offered in a kind of sort of, well, how people use this material once it's on the internet. You know, use it in ways that you'd never imagine and reuse, and this whole kind of sort of reuse and mashup kind of way. And you can imagine a whole Orwell community building up around the digitization of papers, commenting on them, reusing them, and kind of adding to our knowledge. I mean, some of it might be not very useful, but a lot of it is going to be fascinating and offering kind of ways of kind of producing new knowledge, new understandings of Orwell that we might not have, which I think would be very difficult to replicate if these materials were only in a box on a shelf in a library in central London.
The extent to which the archive can be digitised depends on funding. The first stage will involve Orwell's notebooks and diaries. If you'd like to find out more about this project and the George Orwell Archive, look on UCL's website. This is an Audio for the Web production for UCL Library Services.